Not with this, John. You remember we spoke on bread. Christ said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. But also in chapter 7, he speaks of himself as the living water. That's very interesting. Chapter 6, he's the living bread. Chapter 7, he's the living water. Chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. What three wonderful chapters we have here. Bread and water and light, they are the essentials of human life. When he's speaking here of light, he's not speaking altogether of spiritual light, and yet that's the emphasis. He's speaking of knowledge. We're not talking about it. He's not talking about light that we have here in this chapel, or the light that comes from the sun, or invented light. Light that we see with these eyes. He's talking about knowledge. Light is knowledge. It matters not what field you're in, electronics or medicine. Time and time again, especially as students, and even when people get old, on a certain subject, they say, I see it. I never saw that before. There is a light of knowledge. It's a light here. It is a light of the knowledge of the glory of God. A knowledge of Christ. This is wonderful knowledge to have. And God wants you to have the knowledge of the light of the glory of God as seen in Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's bringing before us here. Remember how the disciples were noticing that and how they tried their best to exterminate this light. Right from the beginning of our studies, we've been noticing the scribes and the Pharisees trying to apprehend and put to death the Lord Jesus Christ, the thought of spiritual life. They couldn't do it. They tried their best to put this light out. In fact, down the centuries, men and women, organizations, huge institutions, even governments, have tried to put out the gospel light. They tried to exterminate the scripture, get rid of the Bible. Even nations like Russia would like to get rid of this blessed book, this light. But they can't do it. How wonderful the light of this blessed book is shining more universal now than ever. Every year the statistics come out, more Bibles are being printed. This is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the feet of Jesus Christ. Only John is the one who speaks of God is a spirit. God is love and God is light. Only the tenfold revelation of his light. In other words, we have the revealing nature of this light. It illuminates light expressing itself in these very fine rays. This light is here. This light illuminates. How we are thankful and appreciate the use of a light. A man in darkness may have a book in his hand. It may be a precious book. It may be a Bible. But he is in the dark. He can't read it. He can't see the message in that book or read the print. He's in the dark. And then you'll never know the preciousness of the Bible or the light in the Bible until you're brought into the light. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. An unsaved person can't interpret or expound the Scripture. But then you have the light of the Spirit of God. Then that blessed Holy Spirit sheds light upon this blessed book. And so a man may be in the dark and have this wonderful book in his hand, and he can't see a thing. Another man may have a lot of bills, he thinks they're bills, but he's in the dark, he doesn't know the value of those bills. They could be counterfeit bills. But he doesn't know he's in the dark. People today don't know what these values are. That man that only with his eyes open, he'd see these bills, $1,000 bills, is what does he know he's in the dark? How wonderful is it in the light? Then you can see. The man may be good, if he wants to walk, and he sees around where he is, goes off, and he finds a bottle. And he knows there's something in the bottle, but he doesn't know what it is. Or he may find some water in another container. He doesn't know what it is. It could be poison. How we appreciate light. When a man's in the dark, he's in a precarious position. Dark night, you can't see the path. You're going through a swamp, and everything is so dark. There may be snakes. There may be fools. And there may be other things, things you don't see. And you may be near the cliff. And you don't know. All the danger of walking in the dark. I had an experience years ago, I'll never forget. I was out at the Yosemite National Park Conference out in California. A wonderful conference. Brother from England, Mr. Yowley, and myself were the speakers at that conference, and it had an open air theater. When you were standing on the platform, back behind you was a huge mountain. And about 100 feet from the back of that pulpit, the trails started going up. And they had signs all over the place. Do not travel these trails without the guide. Without one of the rangers. And the rangers were all around. They had officers. They could call upon them. And they were warning groups or individuals from going up those mountain trails without a guide. One morning I was sitting in the second row. And 8 young people sang. A beautiful number. The biggest of that group was a young fellow, 16. He must have weighed 180 pounds. And I watched him as he sang, and he sang so beautifully along with the others. Bill Bush, who was in charge of that conference, after every meeting he would put out the warning, do not go up these trails. Especially late in the day. That meeting was over, we went for dinner. In the afternoon, the folks went their various ways to enjoy the conference grounds, to go to that big Yucatan mountain. I went there to see it myself. There were other places to go and enjoy yourself. An evening meeting. Now, when it came around, I thought we would be in groups together, whispering. And I found out the 2 boys from the camp were missing. The last they were seen, they were going up one of those trails. The time the meeting was over, they were difficult people. After the meeting was over, the people were not listening much to the sermon. They were restless. No news had come from these 2 boys. And that boy I referred to was one of them. As the meeting woke up that night at about 8:30, the rangers were there, and they crossed the rough mountain. They took men, all the men who had fallen through with their flashlights, to come on every 50 feet with a man with a flashlight. And they said, keep an eye on one another, and the rangers went ahead. And they went up as far as they could go. They found nothing. And so the man in charge of these rangers, he said, you can't do anything for us. So they brought up the big horn, loud speaker. and he mounts over that horn, wherever you are, stay where you are. Don't move till the morning. Stay where you are. Don't move until the morning. One boy came back down. And a stranger did find a box that had packages. And this boy they couldn't find was the one who had that box of packages. It kind of gave him a little hope. The other boy came down and he said that we separated. We had separated. That was the warning. Wherever you are, nothing will hurt you. Just lay down. Stay where you are. Don't move anymore. About 10 o'clock that night, the young people were. They were caught by hearing a speech, and it died out that someone was called. They notified the rangers. No one could go up. Sadly, the next morning, some rangers went up the trails and others went along at the base of the mountain and they found her dead. She had fallen 400 feet. There was a kind of a slope that looked almost flat in one angle, but he didn't know it. Evidently, he heard the man, but he found this what seemed to be an open place and he started to walk. Little did he know the incline of that rock was deeper than on. Finally, there was a dangerous place. He likely got to the point where he couldn't stop. He had walked and he had to run. And he was over the cliff. And he had died 400 feet. Here. Life would have been his salvation. Darkness meant his death. I was very happy to hear that that boy had led his own parents to Christ in Los Angeles 3 weeks before his return without him. He was a Christian boy. Then his parents say, certainly we sympathize with him. But there's a fine young fellow. He disobeyed to begin with. He lost his life when he disobedience and darkness. Oh, had he only waited for the sun to rise, he would have found him, and he would have lived. The Lord Jesus Christ warns against darkness. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I wonder if you are concerned about walking in the light. The light reveals people. It reveals our condition. The condition of the human heart. What is it reveals? It reveals in your heart and mind things that God detests. Things in your heart that tithe. There's deceit. There's self-righteousness. Maybe some other things almost like the mess of sleep. And then by the way, does say your heart is like a mess of rubbish. Here it is. Mark 7, 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. If that's not a nest of rattlesnakes, it is. That's how God sees the human heart. Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, God says, oh, this heart. And you know that you might ask. There's not a thing in this world. We think of the awful things that are going on in today's world. You've got the capability, the potential of doing those very things right in here. The evil, wicked heart of man. The right circumstance will bring out its solution. That's what God says. And he wants you to realize. What shows up in our hearts is this precious book, the Bible. When the light is turned on, the precious Bible is teached. It's the light. It shows what's in man's heart. That's why people don't like plain teachers. It's too revealing. It reveals, it illuminates the human heart. The light not only shows us our condition, I think one time we used this illustration of a man who fell down a well. Fortunately, he didn't hit the bottom. He was caught by some roots of trees that happened to be going across. And there he was, he hung on, and he cried out until they came. Those who heard his voice finally found where he was down that old way. So one of them went and got a flash of a light, an extra light on the end of a big long extension cord, and they let it down. And then that light came down to where he was and went down further, and he saw what was in the bottom of that well. He wanted to get out more than ever. He saw half a dozen snakes down there and a lot of other slimy creatures. And when he saw what was down the bottom of the well, I tell you, he thought, oh, get me out of this place. God's word is just like that light bulb being let down into the well of the human heart. And when you see what's in that heart, your hatred against God, and the sin you are capable of committing, oh God, get me out of this world. You'll be happy. The light that shows you what your heart might be, bring you into the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And so the world shows us our position. It's a very dangerous position. But then light also reveals something else, our salvation. It shows us our condition, it shows us our position, but it shows us God's salvation. And God focuses the light, the divine truth, upon His Son. If you want to be saved, God shines the light, the spotlight on Christ, the Son. He's the one that can save. The boy, who was a sailor, was thrown overboard. It was a dark night. And when the alarm went out, the ship stopped. And the lifeboat was thrown. They heard his voice. And they threw the light there. And then they got going with their ship left. But the poor boy was crouching down there. He couldn't see the lights out. The lights out was quite a little place away from him. There he was, still in danger and jeopardy, until the spotlight found the light of death. And then the light found the light that the boy saw, the sailor. And he gave it, he turned to it and grabbed it. That's what he needed. He wanted to see the light that he knew he was in the darkness. And then when you're lost, God put the spotlight on Christ. He's your light that. He's the one and the only one who can save. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light not only reveals, illuminates, it guides. He says, he that calleth me, he's the leader. He that calleth me shall not walk in darkness. You think rather hard the light that you can read about him, but in England, because England, close by him, has lots of harbors for huge vessels. He used to call them the harbor light. And when a ship was trying to make port, and it was dark, sometimes a fog was in the harbor. They looked for sea lights. And when he saw those sea lights, the one in charge of that vessel, the captain, knew what to do. He tried to head the nose of that big vessel toward the middle light. And he had the whip all that channel, the lights and the lights and the lights and the lights. And he knew if he followed those lights, he'd be headed for the middle light. And kept away from the two lights on his time, he'd miss the harbor. Friend, if you want to enter the harbor of heaven, you better go by the light. Jesus Christ is the center light. The word of God and the spirit of God are on either side. God has given us his word and his spirit to guide us to the true light. Jesus Christ. And so this light guides, it leads. Maybe you've heard the story of Pilgrim Progress. I hope you've read it. Pilgrim is in distress, burdened with his sin. But then Evangelist, one of the characters in the book, comes along and he says to Pilgrim in distress, he says, do you see that light? And Pilgrim in distress says, yes, I see that light. Well, he says, right beside that light is a gate to the beautiful city. And so Pilgrim finds the light, he finds the gate, and he enters the beautiful city. That's the only way to the beautiful city, is to follow the light. The light. The light of God, indeed, is God. I thought in the bidding on this past week of Buddy Fleck, who died years ago. Before I went to Canada back in the spring, he asked me, he was very much interested in the book of Revelation. And he asked me if I had any messages on the book of Revelation. I said, yes. Well, in past chapters, I'd like to have them. He said, I hear you. So I took them all over. I think I took a few at the beginning. Before I left, I gave them all away. But he died 3 or 4 weeks ago. And finding his wife, he gave me back the chapter and all the things they passed up. Please. This week, when I took the cast up, I saw there was a cast up in the player. And I rejected it. And the last piece the Buddy Fleck played was the Holy Spirit. And it could have only been a couple of days before he entered it. If you want to get to the Holy City, you're going to have to follow the light. You're not tossed in darkness, you'll have the light of God. How wonderful then to know something of this light. And it's a wonderful light. Christ is the light. But this light not only illuminates, it not only guides and leads, and you can take another illustration of these wise men, they followed the star to the sages. They saw him all right. But the light hears and gladdens. He says, he shall not walk in darkness. Light hears and light gladdens. To the lost and weary traveler, the light in the window of the home said, rise at once in the loft. All of a sudden you see a light, and it's in the window of a home. Immediately you're happy. Immediately you fear, because you know that light in the face of home said, you know there are no enemies there. You know there must be someone there. It means hope. It means fear, it means joy, the presence of human beings. It means there must be help there, there must be friends. And the one lost, he follows that little light blinking in the window, and he finds home. He finds help. He finds those who sympathize, who take him in, and feed him, and give him a night's rest. How wonderful. Think of the light. And how it gladdens, how it cheers one who is lost. You know, all the rest of this is an amazing text, and I'm going to read it to you. Exodus 10, 22 and 3. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any man from the pit place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their sight. The Egyptians didn't move with it. They couldn't see well. So dense was the dark. For those who'd been sheltered by the blood had light in their sight. When I read that this week, I thought of school America, school world. All over this world, there are families, there are homes, and there's not one way of spiritual life. They know nothing of Christ. Grace is not said at the table. The Bible is not there. What God? And it's getting doctored by the day. How wonderful to know there's a light in that way. One day, that is still a clear day, that is still of all day. The children of Israel have left in their death. I wonder if I don't see it. Think of our own right spiritual life. One of the most tragic things I went into one home in Burlington, North Carolina. The mother was blind, the father was blind, and two or three children were blind, and the mother had a blind baby in a line at the death. I thought that's difficult. It is. A friend, there are millions of homes in America, and they're all in the dark. They haven't seen the light yet. Much to offer. Spare the home that knows not the faith. But there's light also here. The world has learned the value of infrared light, ultraviolet light upon the being broken and battered body, pores of the human body. We thank God for the light. These ways. Remember, the soul of the unsaved needs healing. And the Lord Jesus, the light, and he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes he may be healed. Let your soul need healing this morning. The only one who can heal that soul is Jesus. And if you receive him, you'll be healed. That means, in biblical language, and it doesn't say anymore about the healing of the body, and there have been there are cases where God has healed bodies. He's referring to the soul. Your soul is sick. Oftentimes it's pain, it's sick. But they're healing. The Lord be. You'll heal your heart. You heal it, the broken and heart, kind of up their wounds, so the reason Psalm like 147. But then the light warns. Christ is God's great lighthouse, warning men and women of the danger of life. Think of the lighthouse out on the coast. Scattered up and down our east coast, there are lighthouses. They're there for warning. Warning ships of the treacherous rocks and reefs along our coast. And how those who have piloted their ships thank God for those lighthouses. In spite of it, many ships hit the rock. How sad today, in this past weekend, I don't know what the national figure is. But I know in Georgia, 10 lost their lives over the holiday. Likely went into the hundreds. What did a lot of them do? They went against the warning light. They went against the yellow light that put up the caution. Slow down. Eva went through the red light spot.
Possibly the blinking light of a patrolman.
They violated these lights. They went off. And they sped off. And today, their cars like speed, just a bunch of twisted speed, and their bodies twisted too, and their souls in hell, because there's more dwelling light. That's happening every day. Men and women dying their sins, they will not be warned by the fire. Dissipate the rocks with trust. Carelessness, vindictiveness, tradition, fanaticism, religion. Think of what's going on in Guyana. Fanatical group of men and women, they didn't follow the lights of the Bible, and they wouldn't be. That's only satanic. I said to someone this week who brought it up, what do you think about it, brother? I said, the Spirit of God wasn't before, behind that movement, so they wouldn't have done it. It was another spirit, the Spirit of religion. So had they gone according to the light to reveal truth, that never would have happened. Others go against warning truth that God is putting up. I wonder if you're going to follow these lights or ignore the lights. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the servant of God. That means light to warn you of proceeding longer on the path which belongs to life. All I am, good on, keep after it. I'm just trying my best. More men and women, trying to raise the light. Yeah. Maybe sometimes the yellow light. Go down. Stop light! And when people come to a stop, and they know they're wrong, they're lost, then I can turn the light onto the person of Christ. He's the one who lives. Come out of the darkness into the light. I'm being saved. That's my gift. It's the warm men and women of the days of darkness and death. And the light, the blessedness, the brilliance, the joy, the peace of the light, the time and glory, the purpose of the Lord Jesus. You know, the light blinds too. You can be blinded by light. But often that happens. You know, light can warn, it can save, but it can kill. Fire is wonderful, it warms you. But fire can kill. Water's a wonderful thing. You can't get along without it, but you can be drowned. Light can heal, but it can hurt. Brother Henderson over here told me not long ago, when he was a younger man, he went out. And he challenged the sun. And he stared right into the sun and wouldn't stop. He just would have lost his eyesight. Yes, he was flying in the face of danger. And blindness and death. You fly in the face of Jesus Christ and be death and death. Don't try to fly in the face of this blinding light. One time I read the article in the paper about these migrating birds coming down from the north. In fact, the congressman wanted to know if something couldn't be done. There were a couple of lightning strikes over the east coast. And when these birds are coming down, they fly over plastic tanks of water, possibly tires, not much food. And they have actually scooped up with these big machines. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dead bodies of birds that flew right into the light. Well, I killed them. Yet that lighthouse won't sit there to give you a warning of the light. Quite often, an unwary animal tears impotently at the light of an oncoming vehicle. too late. That's it. Then the gaze of the blind of the face, and the light of the bite, and the force of that light, Jesus Christ. You never win. You can't make it if you fly into the face and fall. Over in the Revelation, you'll find there in chapter 6, 1 and 3. They shall cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. With the awful thing, an awful thing in that day. To see that one, he's so brilliant, he's so bright, but then if he accepts him, he'll say you believe you fly into your state and oppose him. You're going to get the consequence. And those rich men, they've been trying to hide in the cave, asking those granite monsters to fall upon them, to hide them in the feet of the feet of Jesus Christ. And when you come to this life, be gracious to me, and he wants you. How wonderful to come to Christ and not run from Christ. When you come to the Lord Jesus, he will come this morning. Another thing about this amazing life is the fact that it's set so often. And life is easy to test something. I've gone into it so much or twice in my life, and I was looking at something, the place wasn't lit up so well. I said, well, I'd like to see that thing outside the door. That's brighter than the sunlight. They will do it, look at. You want to test the true colors of the integrity of your life. Yes, the Lord Jesus, he said. Talk about your reality. You take your reality that you're right. Hold up what you are with the person of Christ and compare it with him. Hold your life up to the light and you'll hang your head in faith. The light there. You profess to be a teacher. Hold up your profession to the person of Christ. Doesn't compare. That person of Christ, the light comes from him, will expose your empty profession. You are really born. Oh, hold up any church, any denomination. Hold it up to the light, the person of Christ. None of them will save. All the churches in Albany will save. All the denominations in the world won't save. Only Christ will save you. Hold them all up to sight to be found at first. Oh, they do. The light test, and the test the Lord Jesus put to those tribes and parishes, those who try to exterminate this life. What think ye of Christ? That's the test. What think ye of Christ? The man talks to me about religion, my question is, what do you think of Christ? Is he the Son of God? Is he on the cross for your sins? Is he alive at God's right hand? Is he coming again? What think ye of Christ? That's the thing. Hold everything up to the light. For he's the only person who can see and reveal things in their details. Another thing, new thing about this wonderful life. This life is a person. This life is not a little wire. It's not a ball. It's like a machine end. It's not a generated light. It's not a reflected light. The moon reflects the light of the sun on the earth. Jesus Christ is not a reflection. Jesus Christ is the light. He says, I am the light of the world. There's no other light. None can compare with the Lord Jesus. It's not invented. I went into the home in being this difficult one time through all that sees this place. And I actually saw the very footprints of Edison in concrete. And he stepped in there, and Henry Ford, who has that huge exhibit, you had him do it, that it might be preserved, the footsteps of Edison. But I also saw the first house that was ever wired by electricity by Edison. That's marvelous. Friends, what is that like compared to the person of Christ? He's the life, not an invented life.
He was the creator of life. And talking about lighting up a house with gold,
do you know he's going to light up the universe? The day is coming when the heavens shall clear away, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all constellations. They have no need of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the holy city, for the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus Christ is going to radiate and flood the new Jerusalem and on the whole earth with his light. That's the light of Christ. Do you know anything about this blessed person? It's wonderful talking about his coming birth this time of the year. How often we see light. The light of the heavens, angels that sing. And the chorus sang. And the shepherds saw great light. The wise men follow the light. Look into the manger, you see the light. In that little face, the Son of God. The light shall Mary's face. The light of joy. Oh yes, light is associated with the Christ in his birth. And during this life, the light. Oh, to think of him now at God's right hand. Another thing, the last thing about this light, or the second last, this light is universal. It says, I am, and he says, I am the light of the world. This light is universal. And never in the history of the world have we got the communication systems we have today by radio and also by other means. Flooding the earth is the light. The light of the world is Jesus. The Bible is going on from every single tongue, speech, and nation. And this is light. How wonderful to know the light, true light, that lightens up your heart, that lightens up your life, that lightens up your soul. The source of that light is Jesus. I am the light of the world. He that walketh, comes to me, and walketh, and follows, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the final point, the tenth, light receding. As you read this chapter, you find toward the end, the Lord Jesus had warned most people enough. They constantly contradicted. Tried to find faults. Tried to kill. Finally, the light begins to recede. You know the last verse of this chapter? Read it. Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the lips of them, and so passed by. The light receded. The stones that should have been thrown at that little woman earlier were thrown at him. And he didn't recover. Light receded. And then the days are so going to approach, and is approaching, when God is going to withdraw the light that's been shining so long. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with light. This light and God can judicially blind the minds of many of us. He can withdraw himself from them who have found to their benefit so long and they've been rejecting it, rejecting it, rejecting it. One of these days, God says, you've had enough. You've rejected my gospel enough. Now I'm going to receive my faith and have always tried enough. I know not the more tragic thing. And so God, to withdraw the light, you've had enough. And I had enough. The light you withdraw. And that means darkness. Spiritual darkness, and it'll mean eternal darkness, where the weeping, raining, nasty of peace. But now the light is shining. When you come to Christ, will you invite him into your darkened heart? This light, this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful light. Will you receive Christ? Will you receive him now?